back to another episode of the Envision Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Gagan, and this week we're going to be talking about remote work. Just before we get started here, I just want to mention that if you follow me on LinkedIn, you may have seen a post from Envisionly about an episode to do with Godot, which is a game engine. That episode is still coming. However, I wanted more time to make sure that I could make that episode properly. For those of you who don't know, Godot has actually recently become more accessible for screen readers, so I just want some more time to kind of play around with it so I can give a proper opinion and actually make a few things with it before I finish the episode. So I don't think I need to explain the concept of remote work. It has become a lot more prevalent over the last few years. So this episode's kind of going to explore the multifaceted benefits of working from home for both employees and employers. So the thing is, this conversation happens a lot, but what doesn't generally get talked about are the benefits for employees who are disabled, like me. Obviously I'm blind. So there's a lot of actually benefits for people who have disabilities as well that you may not necessarily hear about in general conversations. Whether it's to do with inclusion or accessibility, there's actually a lot of different things that you probably don't consider. So actually, a recent study by OWL Labs found that companies offering remote work experience 25% less employee turnover than those that don't. So obviously, that's a very interesting statistic there, because it just shows that people are inclined to want remote work and might be happier when they actually have access to it when they want it. The first thing that I want to cover here is increased flexibility and work-life balance. So remote work essentially will allow employees to better integrate their personal and professional lives through more flexible schedules. Now, the reason why here is because you can more so set your work hours, at least, you know, with some companies and, you know, allowing for a bit of flexibility, which a lot of remote workers can actually get, will essentially let you meet your individual needs in terms of what times you can work, what times you can't, and also when you're actually going to be most productive. I know that generally I'm actually not very productive first thing in the morning, so I actually don't work first thing in the morning, for example, at the minute. I don't start work till probably around 11, and then I work till 8 p.m. So that's just because that's what works better for me. Some people, you know, work better at 6 a.m. I generally work better later, to be quite honest. But that's the thing about remote work. It doesn't really matter when you start or finish your work, once you get your work done, which is obviously really nice. And this is nice because, you know, it's kind of eliminating that traditional 9-to-5 structure that you would have kind of come across for, you know, a lot of roles. It's you show up at 9, you go home at 5, and that's it. There's no flexibility, no nothing. That's just how it works, and that was kind of it. Now, I know that this works for a lot of people, whether you obviously have kids, they need to go to school, need to get picked up, etc. Even if you have pets, you know, you'll be able to take your dog out on a walk during the day or whatever it might be, because you'll be at home. I know for us, we have a very needy cat, Jessie, who you have probably heard me mention before if you've listened to other episodes of the podcast. And, you know, I definitely know that Jessie is a big, big fan of remote work. You heard it directly there, everybody. Definitely a big fan of remote work. It means that, you know, I can get up and go pet her whenever she wants, which is all the time. So all jokes aside, it is really, really helpful for a lot of people to be able to work from home for various reasons, just because it lets your like schedule and things like that be a bit more flexible. This is really beneficial to people who have disabilities as well, because it can mean that you can schedule work around appointments, maybe you need rest periods, and fluctuating health conditions. You also might have quite a strict medication schedule, for example, which will mean that there is a much easier way to accomplish that without bringing a lot of medication into work, which could cause many, many, many problems. So specifically for people like me who are blind, it actually lets you structure the day in a familiar environment without the added stress of rigid office hours, which don't really accommodate personal needs generally or the use of assistive technologies. A FlexJob survey revealed that 80% of workers prioritize work-life balance as the most important factor when considering a new job. Also, Research from Stanford University showed remote workers felt less stressed and had a better work-life balance. So yet again, it just kind of shows that having that option for people to work remotely if they want to, because not everybody does, can actually really, really benefit people, even just their mental health and well-being, which means obviously they'll be happier to go to work and they will obviously perform better in work as well. The next kind of factor to consider here is commute stress and costs. So obviously being able to commute on time, your stress levels during that time and finances, it'll have a really big impact on your day. So for example here, obviously let's say you live in Dublin and it takes you 30 minutes to get to work. Now, if you take the bus, if your bus is late or it gets cancelled, well, all of a sudden you're late to work and then that's your fault. If you drive to work, obviously that has a lot of extra costs, so does public transport, just to clarify. But obviously you have to buy a car, for example, pay for fuel, pay for insurance, pay for tax, pay for NCT, pay for any maintenance and repairs, etc, etc, etc. And you may also need to pay for a parking space as well. So, for example, somebody who uses public transport in Dublin could easily essentially be spending 150 euro to 200 euro per month. And that's obviously a big deal. If you could save 200 euro just by working from home, I mean, number one, you'd also be saving an hour of your day, you know, 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back. So essentially you'd get an hour back every day of the week and every month you'd get an extra 200 euro. I mean, that just sounds like a better deal for everybody. I don't know why anybody, you know, personally anyway, wouldn't take that deal if they could. Obviously, you also don't have to buy specific work outfits necessarily. You know, you obviously don't have to wear the same office attire or anything like that if you're just working from home. If you're on video calls, obviously you might still be expected to, you know, dress semi-professionally, but generally it's not the same. So obviously people with disabilities, this is a really big benefit. And honestly, I would probably refuse to work somewhere that tried to make me go in every day. I don't think it would matter how much they wanted to pay me. It is just not worth the stress for me unless they were literally going to chauffeur me in and home, you know. I'm just not going to do it. And even then, it would just be really stressful. So I definitely wouldn't want to do that. A lot of people have physical, logistical, and financial barriers related to travel. So for example, myself. Let's say I worked in Dublin City Centre. Right now I live in Portmarnock, so I would have to get the DART, which is essentially our, you know, it's kind of like a train, for those of you who aren't familiar. It stands for Dublin Area Rapid Transport. So I'd get the DART into Dublin City Centre, and then I'd probably have to walk somewhere, and then maybe get the bus or the Luas, which again is kind of like a light tram, for those of you again who aren't familiar. So a lot of things can go wrong, first of all, during that. Sometimes the traffic lights don't work correctly, like they don't beep. You know, sometimes there might be construction, etc., etc., etc. People will park their cars on the paths. Honestly, really stressful. Super stressful, very inconvenient, takes quite a while, and will generally have a pretty negative effect on the start to my day. Obviously, there's actually possible savings on specialized transport if that's something that you need. For example, if you're in a wheelchair, you know, you might have specialized things that you need in order to drive around or whatever. And also here, there's actually numerous issues with getting public transport if you have a wheelchair, but I'm not going to get into that too much in this episode. But I've literally heard stories of people who have wheelchairs being stuck on trains because the ramp that they need to get off the train wasn't actually at the train station when they arrived, so they actually had to stay on the train. So yeah, you would just miss work entirely. So, for example, in the US, this is a one-way commute. It's 27 minutes, totaling nearly 4.5 hours a week. And that's according to the US Census Bureau. The Royal Society for Public Health also found that commuters are 33% more likely to suffer from depression. So, I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Obviously, if you get to work at home, you don't have to commute. You're going to probably feel better, you're going to be able to start off your day a bit better, you're going to save money, and you're going to save time. So all around, it's a pretty good benefit. The next important thing to consider here is improved productivity and focus. So a lot of people think that if you're working remotely, you're probably slacking off, and you're probably not getting as much work done. But the thing is, that's a really big misconception. So The thing is, there's generally actually a reduced level of distractions. You're able to personalize your workspace for increased focus. For example, if you have a disability as well, a controlled home environment can be crucial for, you know, people who have problems with sensory input, physical discomfort, and access to necessary equipment. Specifically for people like me who are visually impaired, being able to customize your workspace, whether it be at screen readers, magnification software, and familiar layouts, for example, the apartment I live in, I know where everything is, I'm not trying to find my way around an office, can actually lead to enhanced efficiency and reduced cognitive load. I know even for me, video calls are honestly far less stressful than in-person meetings. Number one, people generally don't expect me to have my video on, which I really like, because I'm not worried about, you know, where I'm looking or whatever, because that doesn't matter to me, but it does to people who can see. So even removing that bit of stress is generally very nice. So if we ever have a meeting and I don't have my video on, it's just what I do. I generally don't have to unless I need to. So for example here, a 2-year Stanford study found that remote workers were 13% more productive than their in-office counterparts. Also, another study indicated that remote work employees worked an average of 1.4 more days per month than those in the office. So, I mean, it's clear here, if you work remotely, you're probably going to get more stuff done, which a lot of people, again, don't think, but you're not dealing with office politics, you're not talking to people when they walk by your desk, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're just sitting here working until you get your work done, and that's it. So obviously, it's probably going to be more efficient. There's also obviously a positive environmental impact. So obviously, if you're not commuting, well, then it means that there's going to be reduced carbon emissions and reduced traffic congestion wherever it is that you work. Obviously, for me, it's specifically Dublin. So obviously, businesses can save a lot of money on office space and energy. So a study by Global Workplace Analytics estimated that if those with suitable jobs worked from home half the time, it would be equivalent to taking over 600,000 cars off the road annually in the US. Now, admittedly, 600,000 cars isn't that many when you consider how many cars there actually are in the US, but 600,000 cars is 600,000 cars. And that's just people who, you know, have jobs that would let them work remotely, taking half the time off. You know, obviously if they, working half time remotely. Obviously if they worked full time remotely, it would be equivalent to removing probably 1.2 million cars off the road, I would assume, which is obviously a much bigger impact. And either way, if it's better for the environment, it's really, really good. Businesses also have other benefits, for example, a wider talent pool and cost savings. So remote work actually allows businesses to access a wider talent pool beyond geographical limitations. So obviously there's a potential for significant savings on overhead costs. The thing is as well, you also have to remember that a lot of people with disabilities don't generally want to commute. So actually, if you allow people to work from home, you're actually also opening up the talent pool to people with disabilities, a lot of which obviously can be quite talented, just like anybody else. Whereas these people would be previously excluded due to inaccessible workplaces or inflexible work arrangements. Companies can actually save an average of $11,000 per employee per year, according to Global Workplace Analytics. Also, the Society of Human Resource Management found that 83% of HR professionals believe that remote work has been successful for their organizations. So yet again, it's saving businesses a lot of money, it's saving employees a lot of money, it's saving employees time, employees are happier, getting more work done, therefore the business can make more money, etc. So, I mean, yet again, I feel like it's pretty clear that there aren't many downsides. Now, there are some. For example, some people can say that the social aspect is something that they miss out on, but that's why it's not about making people work remotely, it's letting them if they want to. I personally don't care about going into the office ever, essentially, you know? And I probably wouldn't ever want to. You know, if I want to meet up with people, I can do that myself, you know, in my personal life, which even then, maybe not. But, you know, that's me. I don't have a big need for social interaction in person anyway, personally. But some people do, and that's fine. So that's why I think having it as an option is great, but I'm also not saying that we should force it on people either, because that's probably also not the solution. Obviously, given what I've said, another really big benefit is increased employee morale and well-being. So obviously all these things can improve morale throughout the company and employees. Obviously, feeling trusted and empowered can also increase job satisfaction. You know, if it feels like your employer trusts you, then you're going to feel happier in your job. But if you feel untrusted, then obviously you're not going to feel as happy. Obviously, having more time for personal pursuits is great. An extra 4.5 hours a week, I mean, that's huge. You can do a lot of different things like that. That's more than half a workday, essentially. So if you have a hobby or something like that, imagine being able to dedicate 4.5 hours a week to those, you know, personal kind of pursuits. Or even if it's just an extra 4.5 hours a week with your family. Obviously, the increased autonomy and control offered by remote work can really help the inclusion and well-being of individuals with disabilities. For me personally and others with visual disabilities, increasing the independence in managing one's work environment and schedule can really help honestly boost your self-esteem and reduced reliance on others for basic work tasks. For example, I wouldn't need to ask a colleague to help me get around the office or to tell me where something is. You know, I'll just be able to do that independently, which can lead to a really good kind of sense of satisfaction and kind of accomplishment. You know, it makes you feel like you're actually doing your job as opposed to just kind of being there for no real reason, you know. So the OWL Labs 2023 State of Remote Work study found that 86% of people who work remotely are happy in their current role. Also, a study published in the Journal of Occupational Health Psychology linked remote work to lower levels of emotional exhaustion, which is obviously good. If your employees are emotionally exhausted, I mean, they're not going to be doing very good work at all. So that is actually going to be it for this episode. As I kind of mentioned, there are a lot of different benefits here, especially for those of us with disabilities. It can honestly be really life-changing to be able to work from home. Even college, honestly. When I was able to do college work from home, I actually got a lot more college work done, and my college work was actually better. And I didn't even realize until I was able to do it from home how much better it was going to be. You know, I had more time, I was less stressed because I wasn't trying to travel, which getting to college was actually very stressful. It was not a particularly close by place. So yeah, I mean, honestly, it was really great for me. Same thing with working remotely. It's honestly really fantastic. So yeah, I mean, it's good for everybody, as I said, whether you're an employee, an employer, and especially if you have a disability, it's even more beneficial. I really do hope that you've learned something from this episode. And as always, and if you have any questions or anything like that, feel free to comment them below, reach out to me on LinkedIn, or send us an email. As always, this has been the EnvisionTech Podcast. I've been your host, Paul Gagan, and I will see you all next week.